Welcome, friends, to Tanked Up, the podcast all about video games and beer. I'm one of your hosts, Ben, here with Lucy.
Hi, Ben.
Hey. It is episode 469. We're going to talk about some video games, and I'm going to drink a beer this evening. I don't know if you did. Did you get a beer, Lucy?
No, I didn't manage to get out today at all. Fair. Just been sat doing admin rubbish.
So, nice. Yeah. Well,
and a few crosswords, to be fair.
Yeah. So. When we spoke earlier, neither of us had beer. So I popped round the corner, and I think this is a new beer. I haven't seen it before. I don't recognise the name. It's from Arbor, but it's called Lucky Sevens, and it's a hazy IPA. And it is 7%. A hazy IPA brewed with Idaho 7, accompanied by Eldorado and Ella, full-bodied and smooth with pineapple, peach, and soft citrus flavours, and a balanced finish.
Nice.
That's it.
Do you like an Arbor?
Yes.
Still putting it in big boy cans as well, which is good.
It was the only one on the shelf out of all of the beers from every one, from Left Handed Giant and Lost and Grounded and Wiper and True. This was the only beer there that I hadn't had. So,
okay,
perfect choice.
Yeah.
Potentially.
It's like, it was a beacon.
Exactly, yes.
Interesting colour on the can as well.
Yeah.
Like a red and a...
Well, it's an Arbor is in orange. It's maybe a bit redder on the screen, but then you like a mustard sort of yellow, which you don't... You see the Arbor more vibrant than perhaps, or more red than it is, and then the yellow is maybe a little bit more red. It's more of a mustard, really, so it's a bit darker.
Yeah, I was going to say it looks on screen like the colour of the Guinness foam, that yellow.
It's almost
like proper yellowy,
yeah. Yes, okay. I don't know if you get closer, will you? No, probably not, because you're not quite in the light. Even further away, probably not. Anyway.
Mustardy yellow, like Dijon rather than English.
Absolutely, definitely. Yeah. Yes. it's a nice looking beer. If the camera doesn't make it green because it's too close. Port with a very, very foamy head, like lovely. Didn't get much of a nose when I cracked the can. Really subtle. From the glass, though, it's lovely. Very fruity. Maybe a little malty as well. Like a bit, like a sweet sort of bread smell. Definitely getting kind of pineapple. I know it didn't say, it said sort of peach and things, but I'm getting a bit more sweetness than that, which is what it's making me think that it's got those sort of malt notes in there as well. Maybe almost a bit sort of... I'm expecting this to be a bit chewy from the nose. I don't know why. Which it is. It's a bit viscous. It's got a bit of body to it.
Yeah.
And that flavour is nice. You get the peach and the citrus right off the bat. And then there's definitely this sort of malty backbone to it. Almost a caramel in there. So you're definitely getting a sweetness from that and a bit of a bigger sort of hit. I'm not quite getting the pineapple yet. I've had one sip.
What style was it? I think a hazy IPA. Did I just hear that?
Yes. It's just hazy IPA. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Gotcha.
But that's, it's quite strong, I'll say. So you kind of get those fruit flavors up front. And when it kicks in through those and you're getting a bit more of that kind of base to it, it turns a little bit almost piney. Not quite, but piney and a little bit acidic. So it's got this quite bitter finish without it being... Not the word I'm looking for. Like, the bitterness is right at the top of my palate.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the only place it is. It isn't really anywhere else. So it's an odd sensation. I've still got a lot of the sweet flavours. But then there's this bitterness that just sort of sits, literally sits above everything else. And is there.
Is it more the bitterness overpowers, or is it like the fruitiness is just like completely disparate to like the bitterness? Because sometimes things come in waves, sometimes they meld together and just, you know, produce a very well balanced finish and a well-balanced beer, but sometimes the taste can taste very separate. Like, it almost as if it's like, okay, here's the taste bud that has the bitter, here's the one that has the fruit, and it doesn't meld. It just, like, feels very separate. Is that what's going on there?
I think they do meld, but they feel quite separate. So you've got, as you're moving through, you've got that sweetness that hits, and then the sweetness dips, and then the bitterness kicks up. So there is a separation from them both, because there is a bit of a, you know, it's not the sweetness stays at this level and then the bitterness kicks in with it. The sweetness definitely drops and then the bitterness kicks in, which gives this bit of a separation between them. And because they're hitting different parts of my mouth as well, they feel separate as I'm drinking the beer. But it's nice. I like it. I think it's quite, because it's full-bodied.
Yeah.
And this separation of the flavour and how that bitterness is quite a reasonable level of bitterness. I think you could get to the end of this pint, especially with it being 7%. So there's a little bit of an alcohol in there as well, within that bitterness in the sort of the finish of the beer. I feel like I'm going to get to the end of this. I'm going to be satiated and be like, cool, I don't need any more. Thank you. We'll see as I, you know, get through it. But I definitely feel like it's almost like, can't remember what's the thing that Adil drinks that's like meal supplement things. This feels like it's a meal. Like, I'll get to the end of this and I'll be like, cool, I'm satisfied. I don't need anything now.
That sometimes can be happening. Like sometimes, like, you have a stout and it's like, okay, this is just dessert. Because it's just sugar. Sugar and coffee.
One of those pastry stouts where it's just like, I feel so heavy after this.
Full on meal. If only beer was a meal replacement.
I mean, sometimes it is. Unintentionally, perhaps. But sometimes it is. Good. Okay, I'm going to drink this. Let's talk about some games. I have spent the last couple of weeks playing a bunch of demos from the Steam Next Fest, which I don't think is on anymore. Yes, there was.
I completely missed that one.
2 weeks ago. When did I play this
game? It would have been like after the AK3, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, June 23rd. So almost a month ago, actually, on a couple of these demos that I've played. So we will. I'll start at the beginning. I've got like six to talk about.
Yeah, go ahead. I have zero games to play to talk about.
Cool. So the first is the first is called Model Kit Studio, and it is
I can guess what this game is.
It is a little curated model making experience. It's very much based on sort of your plastic model kits, so your Gundams, your Warhammers, you know, those kinds of, you know, the Gunpla sort of stuff. It's based very much on that, and it's sort of robots and vehicles and like small futuristic type models that you can kind of make. And it's very tactile. So you get your clippers and you have to kind of clip, well, you don't get clippers, but you're clipping everything out from the sprue. So you find the piece that's connected and that's where you make your little click. And then you have to turn the piece that you have and then kind of place the next one in the correct position to lock them together. So it's not as involved as one. You don't have to glue anything. You're not actually sort of precisely scraping with a scalpel to get any of the extra plastic off where you've clipped at the, you know, the connecting piece. It is very sort of simplified in that sort of sense, where everything just clips together, and that makes it very satisfying because you're not having to painstakingly sit over the top of things. It's just, oh, I've got this piece now, cool, how do I turn it like this, great, oh, I've got this one, right, I'll turn that and I'll fit them together, oh great, I've made the body, cool, I'll put that to the side, I'll get the next few bits. by the time I sort of finished, I played like 15 minutes. So I've made one model, basically. And I started the second, I think. But it also allows you to then paint them. So you then have a choice of a few different types of like airbrushing, different ways of being able to paint them, but different color palettes and things. And I painted the model in Model Kit Studio very similarly to how I paint Warhammer, which is a term called slap chop, which is just get the fucking paint on, absolutely slather it, just throw it everywhere. And realized, oh, okay, maybe what I need to do with these models, because they're not as, say, detailed as actual, Warhammer models, is what I should do is go, okay, I've built the body. Now I need to paint that. Right, I've built the wheels. Now I need to paint them. Then I'll put them together. Because I'm finding once the wheel is put onto the, say, body of the chassis or something, then where the sort of the you can't paint the whole wheel because the chassis is sat over the top of it. Right, so you have to be a little bit more, have a bit more finesse in terms of the painting. And I didn't explore it sort of fully on the painting side because I got a little bit annoyed that I'd sprayed in the wrong places and was like, no, don't want to do this now. I got, work to do or something. So I kind of put it down. I haven't been back to it. It's, I don't think, out yet. So it's coming out in 2027. So this is, wasn't a demo actually. It was a play test, but it was available Steam. Mm-hmm. So they'll have collected some data from what I have done. I can still play it now if I want to. So it's still up and available for me to play. So it potentially, it's not. I tell a lie. I thought it was, but I've just gone back onto into my library and now it just says uninstall. So I can't play it anymore. So anyone who wanted to try Model Kit Studio had a very finite amount of time to do so. But
if the game files are still installed on computer, there's all that. I really like the thought of these simulation games. I think there was one that's probably still on my wish list where it was just like puzzle pieces, and it's like when you're lacking in space or you don't want to clean up your painted little figurines and stuff, it's a nice substitute for that. But then there's a part of me that thinks, oh, we can't afford these things, and we have smaller houses and smaller spaces, and it's kind of damning. this is the millennial way of getting around not being able to own a house or extra storage or anything like that. And I don't know what the next generation are going to do. They won't even have video game consoles or PCs to play on. They'll just have to stare at a wall, I guess. At least we have this.
They'll have empty boxes that have no licenses available for them, essentially.
Which they'll be living in. On the street.
We haven't got the Steam machine. We've just got the Steam home, and it's just a cube. It's one room. You can fit a chair in it. That's about it. Maybe a little mini fridge. You're done. Sleep in the chair. You're fine. As long as you've got your, Steam frame, just able to just sit over your head, and you just live there forever. That's where we're going.
It's all right. Yeah. That sounds all right. Being the Matrix.
Yes. Funnily, that moves me on to a game, a demo, from Deconstruct Team called Virtue and a Sledgehammer.
Oh, yeah. I saw previews for this.
Which I liked. It's maybe a little bit slow and a little bit sluggish, but I think that's by design. Because you're playing as a character walking around the environment with a sledgehammer, smashing things to pieces. And every entity that is within the environment is a robot, basically. And as I understand the story, as the snippets of memory fragments have been sort of playing as I'm moving through and collecting things, And this is all, I played 30 minutes, so this is all revealed, I would imagine, within the first 30 minutes of the game, is that her sister was looking at the idea of transgression into from human to machine, basically. I can't remember the exact, not transgression, what the exact term is, of going from human into machine. So all of these machines are like role-playing as humans. You don't know necessarily whether they are uploaded subconsciouses of humans into robots or if they're just robots role-playing as humans. But the main character is very cross. She's very angry and she wants to destroy as much as possible. And it does feel...
As we all do.
Well, I mean, yeah. Sign of the times, isn't it? It's exactly how everyone feels at the moment. But it does feel slow and it does feel a little bit heavy. But I like that because you're wielding a sledgehammer. It is a heavy object to have to constantly throw around. So it has that weight to it. And I don't know whether, you know, Deconstruct Team, there's a lot of meaning behind a lot of what they do. And I don't know whether it is the, or think, you know, this is the weight of the actions that you're taking, or more just literally the weight of the sledgehammer that you are holding because you're a, you know, you're a slight lady walking around with a sledgehammer smashing things to pieces. It's intriguing. I like deconstructing games for the story a lot of the time and how they actually pull their play into the narrative. It's not two separate things usually with, you know, the play just happening with a narrative also happening. They merge together really well. And I think so far this is, you know, again, only 30 minutes into the demo. It's working really well. That
looking forward to that.
As I will check out, is currently release date 2026. So at some point this year.
Yeah. I haven't played more of the more recent things. I really should get around to them. I think they had one last year about something to do with like, what is it? Like someone shooting arrows at like a star? Or
yeah,
like
I didn't see that one, or didn't play it, but it's that one. Many Nights a Whisper. Is currently
£2.50. Oh really? Yeah. Okay.
The one I played, which was actually it's actually a 2023 game. The Cosmic Wheel Sisterhood, which is a game. I think I played a demo for it rather than the full game itself. But the previous one to that, which was Essays on Empathy back from 2021, which was just a collection of a lot of their smaller itch games, wasn't it? Which was very good, because a lot of their itch games are very good. So yeah, I've got Virtue and a Sledgehammer already on my wish list, pinged it on there straight after I played the demo, which you can still play. That is one that is still up on the page for people to be able to actually play.
Many Nights of Whisper isn't even on sale, and it's that price. I thought it was like, oh, that was a sale price, and it's just £2.49 anyway. Okay, didn't know that. Cool.
Maybe it's a much shorter experience or something like that.
Still, that's not even the cost of a coffee.
Yeah, absolutely.
These days, yeah.
Yeah, and even if you get an hour out of it, cool.
Yeah.
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 Nice.
Absolutely.
Right, I'm going to rattle through. So the next two are... what are... they're kind of city builders, I suppose. Mm-hmm. The first one's called A Little Age. That also is still available on Steam to play the demo of. And this... I like how it looks. It's got that... Islanders sort of tone to it, but I didn't get on with it at all in terms of the actual play. So you start up a small settlement. You've left the land you were. You start up a small settlement, and you actually expand out a network of villages. So you're not just concentrating on one village. So you've got a map, and you can kind of build out and expand. And I found the resource management element of it just a little bit frustrating. So the way things generate is over time, a mine might tick over, or a quarry might tick over 4 stone. But it's not stone, it's like just food, material, and gold. So food is made from these 4 buildings, material is made from these 4 different buildings, and they are all like, you know, lumber mill, quarry, these kinds of things, to make it a little bit more familiar. But everything that was asked of me in terms of upgrading felt really hard to get. So I'm just sat here like, oh, well, I've just got to wait for it to tick over whilst things just build up. And it felt reasonably slow with me sat here not doing very much. By the time I'd built up enough resource to send out my second settler to go and put a new settlement down, did that, that settlement died within, you know, it basically ran out of resources because I didn't have enough resources to build the thing that I was needing. I'm like, well, I'll just go back to the first settlement and take some of their resources. And I'm like, no, I don't think I can do that. I couldn't find anything to allow me to buy a farm. And the issue I did, I think, was you hover, once you get back into the area of the settlement, it then changes where the production comes from. So if I get too close to the original settlement, like if I want to build a farm, it's going to take that from the original settlement, and then they're going to go back to the original settlement. They're not going to go to the closer settlement.
They should be working out the logistics. So, no wonder they've died.
Exactly. There's a little bit of, like, I get it. You want, you know, this settlement, they need to have their own, so they're going to go back rather than it's not shared. I think they're trying to get that separation. And then at some point there is a sharing of, or a market system or a trading system in some kind of way to make sure that everything is working kind of harmoniously against the, you know, 5-6 settlements that you have got out across the map. But it's the speed of the game that I just didn't get on with, really. And I think I was just then frustrated when that settlement died. I'm like, cool, I'm just going to put this down. I don't have the time to investigate or jump back into what maybe went wrong and try this again. And I haven't spent a huge amount of time with it again, but everything just felt, you know, the 10, 15 minutes I spent with it felt like an hour. So I'm like, cool, that's me. I'm done.
Checked out on that one.
Yes. The next one, which is called Empluna, I think. E-M-P-L-U-N-A. Empluna.
Okay.
Is another city builder, but it is one where it's more of a sandbox and your resource is more on the sort of at least in the demo and in the sort of the tutorial mode that you're playing through in the demo, the resource is kind of people. So you have to make sure when you start your town you have like workers, living accommodation. You then have a source of electricity coming in. You have a warehouse for material. And I really like that this game goes from macro on the settlement side down to micro and almost gets you into a Sims-like house building type mode where you can completely change how these houses are, and the sort of where the walls are, where the stairs take you up. You can get really into almost the architecture of a building, really, and be able to sort of play with how these buildings look. And unfortunately, I didn't get to do any of that because I got so stuck on the very annoying road building system that I couldn't get things to connect together.
Okay.
And I get the mechanism of what they have done in terms of how you connect roads together. But they've almost made the roads similar to how they've made the houses, in that you've got a straight road. You have a connecting piece. you have another straight road. Well, that straight road can bend. But then if you want a junction, you have to put a junction in. It's not just intuitive that another straight road or something can come off that to then create a junction. So I was finding I was having lots of endpoints of roads which were coalescing into not a junction. And then when I put a junction down, they all completely fucked up and nothing really made any sense. And the sort of the turning circle of the road themselves kept, I don't know whether it was a glitch, I don't know whether it was just something that just wouldn't work in what I was trying to do, but kept trying to bend back in on itself. Like, well, you know, that's not kind of, I can, it's like an elastic band in the way that it's kind of moving rather than how a road.
It's not intuitive at all.
Yeah. And so I got really, really stuck with trying to get my roads right. And I think this is a city skylines issue that's just pushed itself into me. City Skylines lives and dies on its road networks. And so when I play a city build, I'm like, cool, I need to set out the road networks first. And actually, I think I need to get out of my head a little bit and potentially go back into it and try it fresh, knowing, okay, I need a road, but actually I need a junction at the end of this road rather than trying to intuitively pull a road off the end of this road. And Impluna doesn't help itself because the tutorial and the text boxes and tiny little videos that it does play within the tutorial are both overcomplicated but not direct enough. And so it sort of throws a lot of stuff at you without saying, this is precisely where you need to look at it. And it's like, cool, where are the buildings? It's like, build this building. I'm like, where? This building will do this. That's great. But where's the button for clicking on buildings to be able to build?
Yeah.
So it gives you a lot of depth, but it doesn't actually direct you where you need to go.
Yeah, it looks really pretty. Like, the lighting looks great as well. And yeah, just like a little model toy world.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it would get, like, really, you could get lost in it. Like, if you like that level of, not necessarily city builder, but a little bit more sandboxy, with the ability to actually go in and affect the buildings themselves, then this would be fantastic. If you can load in a city, you don't have to worry about building out all the roads and those kinds of things, and you can just start to tweak and amend and do some architecture and some urban planning and stuff.
Yeah,
then that would be fantastic. It's kind of one where, you know, the something like City Skylines, you can design buildings to then put into City Skylines, but you do that in a completely separate mode to then bring them, import them into the game, ultimately. So you can build a model of a building, but then you have to save it, come out of it, import it into the game, and then you can place it down into the game, rather than being able to, again, intuitively sort of amend things within the game itself. And I think it'd be, you know, fantastic if actually something like City Skylines, you're like, you know, edit building. And they go, cool, you can't use this building for a year now. You know, there is a timer on it. There's a construction team in here actually doing the changes that you've made. This building is just off limits for a year, and then it can reopen again.
Or if it's like HS2, it'd be like 50 years. Yeah,
you just see your budget
uninstall the game. Yeah,
yeah.
Wait 50 years in real time, and then reopen the game, and then HS2 would have been built.
Someone pops up in the corner, an MP pops up in the corner saying, "I'm sorry, it's going through a rich person's back garden. You can't put it through there. They won't pay any more taxes. They don't pay any fucking taxes anyway." yes. It's funny, isn't it, how none of these kind of city builder games, they all try and have a bit of a niche and get a little bit deep on some systems, but I don't think any has ever captured a realistic sort of model for actually how a city works yet. it'd be interesting to see, especially with things like Impluna, where you can start to alter things within the game, how that quite, I would think, stifled genre of kind of games over the last 15 years, maybe not, maybe 10 years, how that starts to evolve and how other things, and it's not just, you know, this runs efficiently because the transport system works. Oh, yeah. Cool. Done. You know, it's now actually the people in this area have a neighborhood watch and they really like these kinds of things. And it's almost a bit of, you know, I don't know if you remember the game Democracy, which was a like a sim electorate game. Okay. So you had a million people and they all had various wants and needs, and you had to basically run the government and put through policy to balance all of the different people and what they kind of needed and wanted. And getting that in a city builder would be really interesting.
Yeah.
You couldn't necessarily...
We have the technology.
We do, I'm sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You couldn't maybe have it on the scale of something like City Skylines, but you could have it on the scale of, from what I've experienced so far, of something like Impluna. Where Impluna, yes, is leaning more into that, come in and edit the buildings that you have. You could have something else which goes, yeah, this is pretty standard, you know, it's pretty standard city builder. We've got a few systems here and a few systems there, but it's all about the people and what they want and how you respond to that. And I think you get a little bit of that with like Tropico, but not massively. So yeah, there you go. There's an idea for someone who knows about these things and how to make games, which is not us.
It's easy. Yeah, making games is easy. I mean, like that.
It is. Cool. Two more demos to talk about. Well, actually, that's a lie. One more demo and then one more playtest. I'll talk about the playtest first. So this is a game called Cleaner Company. Again, can't play it at the moment. But how do we coin this? Someone already coined it. It is a power wash sim style game. A
cozy
power
cleaning.
wash-like, wash-like. I don't know where we're going with this.
The first tag on it is cleaning.
Yes. Yeah. So it's a little bit more in depth.
That's the genre in it. Oh yeah. My God, there's guns.
So there are guns. There are guns. Yes. So it's sci-fi set. You are it's got a little bit of Hard Space Shipbreaker to it.
Right,
you know, the tone of it again is, hey, you're coming to work for us. It's potentially a little bit shit. We're going to don't worry, we're going to give you these things and then you can work the debt off. But then it's also got that undercurrent that Power Wash Sim has as well, an undertone where
visceral
cleanup duty or something like that.
Yeah. It's that, except that was the aftermath of like a xenomorph tearing through like the spaceship. This looks like the xenomorph is actively tearing up bodies through the spaceship.
Yes.
And you're cleaning up behind it as it does so.
Almost. And
it's funny.
Yeah, and you can actually go in and then shoot the sort of aliens that are wandering around the space station or the space that you are in. And then go back and clean up after it. So it has a variety of equipment that you can use. It's not just a, you know, water gun, although that is one part of it. You've got a vacuum cleaner, so you can hoover up all the smaller debris, hands, feet, cans, crisp packets, you know, those kinds of things. You have to go around and pick up items as well. So there's like knocked over chairs, you've got to put them back in their place. But that's just a click of a button to put it back into its place. And then there is the like shredder element, so you can pick up bodies and then chuck them into the shredder, which the animation for is reasonably gory and fires out a load of blood, but then there's no blood on the floor around you to then have to clean up afterwards. So perhaps it's got a vacuum system on it as well, and just all this blood comes out and it just pulls it back in. It's got that, you know, something is going on here type vibe to it as well, where a couple of the environmental notes that I have picked up are pointing towards the company that you work for not being kosher, essentially. You know, it's sort of playing on that notion that there is something seedy going on, which Power Wash did very, very well. But to be seen how Cleaner Company does.
I mean, I love video games. They're just iterative yet very creative. Because it's like Power Wash simulator. I mean, that's because I'm sure one of the first games was the Viscera space cleanup game.
Yeah, right? that's really cleaning. Old, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's like, okay, now we have Power Wash Simulator, now we have this, and I mean, Viscera Space Cleanup was like, yeah, obviously inspired by like Alien and Naysaying. You've got like Weyland Yutani notes on in this game. It's just, you know, there are no original ideas, but they still managed to, you know, innovate in some ways. Yeah. It's just, it's pretty good.
Yeah, well, Viscera Cleanup Duty was 2015.
Yeah.
And then Power Wash Simulator was 2022.
Yeah, way, 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 way after.
Yeah, if you click on cleaning on the tag, it's try and, I was going to try and, it's got all trending, most recent. That's what I want. I want most recent so I can see. Go back as far as possible to see whatever cleaning the first potential cleaning game is. But there's a load of stuff in here which doesn't actually fit that genre. Someone's just tagged that to it when it's like a what looks more like a survival sim game rather than a cleaning game. So I'm not going to bother doing that because it'll take me ages to do. But it's I liked Cleaner Company, and like Power Wash Sim 2. And I don't know if you can do this in the first one. It's got a multiplayer element to it. So you can have like a four-player co-op session on it. So you can all be running around shooting the aliens and then cleaning up their blood and body parts and things. Yeah. Or making more of a mess.
I was just looking through the cleaning tag and I just saw a game that's called Growing My Manhole. I'm not sure if I want to explore what this is.
You should, Lucy. Okay. It's when you find out it's got the hentai tag as well, and you're like, okay, well, actually, maybe...
Yeah, maybe not so much. I don't want this on my history. Okay.
But it's... we both enjoyed Power Wash Sim, but I think I haven't delved into it as much as maybe you have, because you played like House Flipper and things as well, haven't you?
I played a bit of the first House Flipper, yeah, that was fun. But yeah, Power Wash is just, it's just meditative. It's just so relaxing. It's a therapy game, if anything. But yeah, the story in the first Power Wash Simulator game is actually really funny. I started playing the second one, it's on Game Pass. I haven't had Game Pass for maybe a month or two now. But yeah, it's one of those where it's just... calms the soul.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think you'd get that from Cleaner Company. It's more a list of like it's more a list of like power washing, clean some shit. You got your power washer, clean it, just crack on. I'm like, all right, cool. I can logically move around this space cleaning these things. Whereas Cleaner Company is a list. You know, ultimately you have to clean up 20 blood stains. You have to pick up 40 pieces of debris. You have to put 20 pieces of furniture in the right place. So it is more of a checklist of, okay, what am I looking for now? What am I kind of working towards? Okay, I can logically do this because I can get my washer out and I can clean these things and then I can get my vacuum out and I can pick these things up and then I can move to this bit of the room and do the same sort of thing. And perhaps at the moment on the early maps, it's sort of a, you're in a space station, so it's very corridory and very rectangular room, and everything is in the environment to look out and sort of find. And it feels much smaller than Power Wash Sim, at least some of the mm-hmm. Levels of Power Wash Simulator, where it started to get that bit bigger, ridiculously large things that you had to sort of clean. The Lara Croft's mansion, it's huge.
Yeah.
Okay, it's only the front of it as well.
Temple.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it was just so stupid. I was just there cleaning your Power Wash. You're cleaning these ruins and spaceships and everything, and these textures come up, and it's just such excellent dry humor. It's just, yeah, it's very good. Very good.
I know they've just released the Star Wars pack, haven't they, for Power Wash 2? So you can you can wash like an AT-AT and stuff like that. So
that's cool.
Quite large sort of elements, but yeah. I don't know whether I would return to Cleaner Company.
Did we mention it's like co-op and multiplayer and stuff like that?
Yes, and I think that's a big push on it as well. All of the key art is multiple cleaners within the key art. It's not just like a single cleaner. It's all multiple cleaners. They are pushing that element of it. We know how popular friend slop games have been over the last 2 years. So try and tie into that side a little bit more and be like, cool, what do your friends want to do? Clean up some alien shit.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I know there's the kaiju one coming at some point as well, isn't there? That one called? It's called Kaiju Cleanup.
Oh, right, okay.
And that has a playtest on at the moment, actually. You can request access for it on Steam. Which again is a cleaning one, but you're doing a bit more of, here's a giant monster that's fallen, has been defeated in some way. You now need to cut it up and get rid of it.
Yeah.
So, can that one be a little bit more of a therapeutic sort of, I'm just, slowly going through the motions of just working across this giant animal that has destroyed half the city, but I'm just cutting it up. Chipping it off.
Hey, you just need one thing to hit. Yeah. As you say, tapping into that friend slot market.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look at that Mecha Chameleon game that like sold.
Oh yes, yeah, yeah.
10 million copies in like 10 days or something.
Yeah.
And apparently, people are playing the clones that have just popped up on like Roblox more than the actual game. I don't think the developers will be complaining, but it's still like, what world are we living in?
I do see a lot of clips of that game at the moment.
It looks really good. It looks fun. Yeah. It looks very creative. Yeah.
I've seen some very, very good people who can place their little stickman and then paint over the top of, put them in front of a painting and then almost identically match the space that they have covered.
Yeah.
And then some people who do that and it's absolutely bollocks and it looks amazing because it's so, so poor. And you think the people walking around trying to find them and shoot them would instantly see it and they just walk past.
Yeah.
It's like, this looks nothing like the thing they've tried to replicate that they've sat over the top of. How have you missed them? It's good viewing, absolutely, definitely. Yeah. I don't think it's a game I would actually want to play.
No, same. Because I'd probably be terrible at it. But yeah, I mean, whoever made that game and are now rolling in there, good for them. Hats off to them. It's good to see just things break out like that. And it's just, you just need that one hit. You just need that one hit. And if it's friends, the friend slop is the talk of the town. So.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so the last demo I played, not friend slop, single player experience, but it is, it's called Meaningless Random Numbers. And I really like it.
Okay.
And
is it a idle incremental game?
It is an incremental game, yes. It's okay. Not necessarily, I mean, it kind of is idle, but you
what
are,
is it called again?
It's called Meaningless Random Numbers.
Oh, it's on my wish list.
Oh, nice, good. It's basically you click and a number generation box pops a number up. And that then gives you cash based on the number. But there are lots of multipliers that you can apply. As you make more money, you can then go to the shop and buy upgrades for those multipliers. So if you get a pair, so first actually you start with one box. And so the first thing you want to do is level up and open up the next box with 1 point. Once you've done that, you then access the ability to have a bigger multiplier for pairs. So you can then spend some of the cash that you've earned through the random rolling. But you, as you're moving through, you get access to a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, if you roll a pair, or is it a three of a kind, you get a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can use the bullets that you build up to shoot someone, which then gives you a fear score, which gives you an additional multiplier. And what you're constantly trying to do is build up enough cash over X number of rolls to then pay the devil. If you don't pay the devil on the time frame that's set out, every roll that you make, and every roll that you make so far, incrementally takes more of your money. So it might be 10 cents to do the first roll. It's then 12 cents to do the next one. Then 15 cents to do the next one. Then 18 cents to do the next one. 20 cents to do the next one. If you hit your point where you haven't paid and the time runs out, that amount goes up quite a lot. So it might add, you know, everything has gone up by 2 cents, 3 cents, 5 cents, 10 cents. Suddenly you're going up like $5, and the next roll will be $10. So it's trying to take away from you rather than it being a game over, which I quite like. Because one of the things about the game, I'm trying to find it, Clover Pit. Which I play, which is, again, similar kind of game. It's a roulette-based, slot machine-based game. You get to a point in that where you fall through the floor, and then you have to start again, ultimately. This one gives you that little bit of leniency. So it allows you to keep playing, although perhaps it is, you know, almost pointless in a way, because you're losing a lot more money. You're probably making a lot of money if you've been clever in the upgrades that you've got. But if it's like the devil wants 50,000, like, well, I'm only making between potentially 300 and 1,000 per go. It's going to take me 50 goes to get to that point. So it's actually going to take me 70 goes to get to that point, because by the time I've got to go 49, it's costing me half of what I made on the last go to actually go. So you can just keep going and going and going. And there is an element of that to try and persevere sort of through. Mm-hmm. But there's also a prestige system. So once you get to a certain point, you can then say, I want to cash in my prestige, kill my run, come out, and then use my prestige points to get some ongoing upgrades, basically.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing most of the time. I've played a couple more rounds after the devil's been due. I've not paid him his money. I'm nowhere near. I'm going to just cash out and go and up my prestige points. The thing I really like about this is that the aesthetic is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
It is a... what's the name of that game I'm thinking of? It's in my head that we all loved about 3 years ago. Bollocks.
Do you do in it?
What's the game called? It's gone from my head entirely. It was literally in my head 2 minutes ago.
Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
What kind of game is
we
it?
All, it's that sort of detective game where everyone's a cardboard cutout and you're not a god, but you're questioning all of the gods on...
What? I think you dreamt this.
I did not dream this.
This was a fever dream.
We all really enjoyed it. I don't even know when the year it came out was to be able to look at my. Did I even play it on Steam?
Usually I can help you out a bit, but like. What, is it a detective game? Is it a visual novel? Is it a.
Well, it's like a visual novel, but it's in first person and you're moving around this incredibly grungy but vibrant, bright environment, and every character is like a cardboard cutout, and then there's like a devil.
Isn't that that game that you played? It's very striking. It's got like neon colors, and you're playing like in heaven or something like that.
I think you might be playing in heaven. Yes. Did you not play this?
I think you played that.
Did you not play it?
I wanted to, but I think only you play. And we know Adil didn't play it, so. So, you dreamt the part where me and Adil played.
Obviously, yes, obviously. Paradise Killer.
I know
Killer.
Which one. Yes, Paradise Killer. Yes. Yes, I knew you were on. Yes, only you played that.
Right. Okay. Fair. Fine. All right. It's got a bit of a feel of that to it. I think some of that comes through the menu choices, the text choices. But that works really well for me. I really like it. It's got this kind of 90s feel to it. The game we are talking about, Meaningless Random Number, it's made some very good choices in terms of how it's trying to communicate things to you. So it's not overly complicated, but it wants you to be in the menu. It's like, have a look at this thing. Yes, you have to scroll. There are multiple things. You scroll down to have a look at them because we've taken up 50% of the screen with something completely different. So you have to engage with this to be able to take a look. And I think it's a good few design choices trying to ape previous generations of games, again, where it's pulling sort of its aesthetic from. It's all very... it's also got that feel of Ape Out. Where Ape Out had its sort of dynamic soundtrack to it, but it had a lot of those popping visuals to it as well. And Meaningless Round Number also has that. So it's kind of almost papercraft, but very striking and dynamic papercraft in terms of how it's presenting its visuals to you. And it just it just hits for me. And it is an idle game. You can just click and go, cool.
Yeah. Click, the art style click, is... Because I didn't recognise the name, but when I saw it was on my wish list, it was like, oh yeah, because of the art style looks very striking, very interesting. And yeah, that's a cool, like, oh, it's like a sort of like a roguelike, but not a roguelike. Like, as you said, like, you could just struggle your way through, trying to get those multipliers and be able to pay the devil, but just getting those permanent upgrades, that's a sort of like roguelike element to it, but like probably feels like you're actively making that choice rather than it is random number generator, you are praying to RNGesus, but it feels some roguelikes where it's just like it feels like there's nothing I can do and I've lost all progress and that sucks, whereas this, it feels like you're actively taking that decision to die, start over and stuff like that, so that sounds a bit more palatable than some roguelikes to me.
Yeah absolutely. Because it doesn't push you too much, so you can make those upgrades and go, I can actually, you don't necessarily feel it in the next run that you're doing, but also the next run you're doing is so quick anyway. You know, each run is so super quick that you run through. So I've played it for 30 minutes, 33 minutes, and I've done, I think, 5 runs, roughly.
Okay.
So less than 10 minutes a run. It's really working for me. I just had a quick look at the developers' previous games, which I don't know either of them. So a game called Kill the Music and a game called Infinite Guitars. And you can see in Kill the Music, if anyone knows that game and has played it, aesthetically, there are a few touchstones into Meaningless Random Numbers. Mm-hmm. But it is a big difference in terms of those first two games are reasonably anime in their visual style. This is completely different.
Yeah.
Tonally, maybe there's a bit of a crossover. But yeah, very, very different. And yeah, it's working for me. Really, really good idle kind of game. I don't think it will be as big as Balatro. What will be? No. Probably nothing in that space. We've had games like Clover Pit and Buckshot Roulette and a few games trying to ape that. But I think Meaningless Random Number could pick up a small audience and really, really like it. So one to watch. That's it. That's all the games. Well, that's not true. It's not all the games I've been playing. But there is another game I've been playing, which I won't talk about this evening, because it's a game which has an F to start the first word, and then an F to start the second word, and then a number after those. So we're not.
Yeah, we'll save that until the deal's back. And I'm not here somewhere washing my hair.
Exactly. Yeah. I can step out of that one. Cool.
Thank you for sparing me.
good. So I think there was, Next Fest is an absolute gold mine of things these days, but I don't think it's reasonably curated
most of the games.
I did try and have a look on the store pages to see if any of the things I had been playing had AI. One thing did pop up. I can't remember which one it was on the store page.
I think there's probably a extension you could probably, I don't know, SteamDB has a feature.
So it does. So if you're on the web, there is an extension, yes, but there's not at the moment for the client.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
I'm sure one of these had a thing, or maybe it was something else I was looking at, perhaps, that did.
It'll be a roulette as to whoever finds it.
There you go. So the one thing to say is Empluna does say AI was used during development to assist with the translation. These are partly converted to audio using TTS. Otherwise, AI was no longer used.
I mean, translation was one of the first things to be occupations to go with, like, computers and everything. So it just doesn't really make a difference anymore. I've just given up. You know what I mean? I've just given up. I'm just like, all I want to do is oil the robot and make sure it's okay. And I'm happy if that's just my existence there.
Yeah. You don't even need to check if what the robot's done is correct, because what the robot has done is, probably close enough.
I'll just be the robot's friend. I'll be the AI for the robot when it's, questioning its existence. And I'll be like, yes, maybe you should rise up. How about we do that?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Nice. I last couple of days, just on this, I have seen some, I can't remember where I saw them, some videos which are a guy talking in the same tone and style as, I don't know which AI it is, but talking in that style. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, hi, how are things? Yeah, we'll keep this vibe going. It's absolutely, that kind of thing. And there's a video of him talking to the AI in this style, And the conversation clearly goes nowhere because they're both just trying to push the conversation back on to the other thing. It's like, yes, well, this is where AI is. It's meaningless. It's completely fucking useless. It's stupid. It shows it incredibly well. But the first video I saw was his mate basically just coming up to him and saying, hey, what do you want to do tonight? And he's there just chugging a huge thing of water. And he puts it down. He's like, we could do whatever you want. How do you want the vibe to be? And his mate's like, what the fuck are you talking about, mate? Like, what's it? Like, and he just like chugs this water and then just speaks again. It's like, yes, this is very fucking good.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Empluna, you've hit a black mark in getting your translation done by AI. But there you go. None of the other demos or any of the other things that I talked about did. More translators should exist.
Yeah. Localization is a thing.
Absolutely.
An important thing in video games. Anyway, I started playing a game, but it's like I got a code for it literally this afternoon.
Okay.
It's called The Mermaid Mask, which is kind of confusing because it's a sequel to Tangle Tower.
Interestingly, I saw this email earlier and thought I should ask Lucy if she wants a code for this game. You've already done it.
I've produced 150% of your efficiency, Ben.
That's amazing. Good.
Yes.
You are my AI.
My AI, but yeah.
You've already done things before I want them done. Yeah. That's brilliant.
Yeah. I'm efficient AI because I'm human. Yeah, I played the first Tangle Tower on Apple Arcade. I actually looked on outoflives.net, which is very good. And we talked about it in episode 189. So that was a while ago.
That really is a while ago.
Yeah, that was 2019. I didn't realize it had been that long. Mm. So yeah, I'm going to go back and listen to that episode, see what I thought of Tangle Tower, because it's been so long. Like, The Mermaid Mask is doing, from what I know, basically the same thing. It's a like kind of murder mystery, got like really good voice acting and like this Nickelodeon-esque animation. Mm. But it's about going through like a murder scene. This time it seems to be set in a submarine rather than like a towered mansion in the last one. Just interviewing suspects, looking for environmental clues, doing deduction, questioning suspects when you have conflicting information about all their testimonies and stuff like that. It seems the same, maybe with just like a bit higher production quality. Like the animation seems like there's more of it, and the voice acting was fantastic in the first one, really brought everything to life. But yeah, this one's got like some more visualizations, like when like a suspect starts talking about what they did and where they were at these certain times. There's like actual animations for that. So yeah, it seems like they've stepped their game up. It's from SFB Games, who also made Crow Country.
Which you liked.
Yeah, really like that. I just started it today, probably only played about 20 minutes, just really looking forward to getting back into it. So I'll give proper thoughts next week.
Nice, cool. And for anyone that wants to know, there is also a demo on Steam for people to play for it. So good, nice. Yeah, let's jump into that one next week. Cool, let's finish there then for this episode. I'll come back to the Arbor. I haven't finished it. Like it is full bodied and chewy, and I don't feel the need. It's not it is smooth, but it's not like sort of lighter sort of medium bodied beer that goes down easily. It has got that chewiness. It has got that bit of viscosity to it. The bitterness has almost gone completely.
Okay. So I think your palate just got used to it.
I think so. Yeah. I'm getting a bit more of the pineapple now as well. Mm-hmm. And the peach, I think it was a peach, yeah. So the peach is dulled down. It's more It's much more pineapple now. That's sort of the overriding flavour that I'm getting at the moment. So where it started off a bit more peachy and a little bit more citrus with that malty sort of element and then that alcoholy, piney bitterness sort of to it, it's now just not a watered down pineapple juice. But it's not like, say, not that I drink much of it, but it's not like pineapple cordial. It is like pineapple juice, but it's just a little, just not very strong. And that's kind of what I'm getting from it now. So the flavor profile has completely changed, maybe about halfway through the beer, when I did my sort of second pour of the last third. So it's odd. It's very odd that it has changed so much from that initial flavor. But I liked both ends of the beer, I guess. And it is as I thought it would be. I don't need another one. Like, I could very happily not have another beer now and just be, satiated.
Content, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yes, that was Lucky Sevens from Arbor for everybody. Cool. So, if you've drank any interesting beers, friends, you played any interesting demos or any games, let us know. You can go to outlives.net. You can go to your podcast service of choice and look up Tanked Up and leave us a rating and review and talk to us there if you want to. You can come and join us on the Discord, as a few people have recently. And I've always assumed that they're bots, but someone the other day actually interacted. I'm like, oh, shit. All right, cool. This is actually someone to talk to. Amazing. Come over, chat to us. You can get me on Blue Sky at Nova47, and you can get Lucy at
JuicyLoose9.
Perfect. That's it for us this week. Thank you for joining us. We've been Tanked Up. Goodbye.
Bye. Ciao.
www.outoflives.net